America was founded by professing Christians. Week after week in their own churches, so many of them would stand up with the congregation and recite the Apostles' Creed, including the part about their affirmation that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The founders believed that we have our rights as a gift from the Creator. Meanwhile, speaking of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, is there scientific evidence for the resurrection of Christ? Many scientists say there is. Others say, no, you're wrong. And it's the Shroud of Turin that is the object in question. This is a linen cloth, 14 feet by 3 feet, which is purported to be the actual burial cloth of Jesus Christ. We know for a fact where this cloth has been since the year 1357. Myra Khan Adams is the executive director of a group called the National Shroud of Turin Exhibit.org. That's their website. And recently, in order to promote education about the Shroud of Turin, there's actually an challenge, a $1 million challenge that has been initiated to basically disprove the shroud. Prove it as a fake and you can get $1 million, provided you use the same kind of means that a medieval forger allegedly would have had. Well, good luck with that. Myra now joins us on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and again, the website here is nationalshroudofturinexhibit.org. Myra, it's great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so tell us about, first of all, before we get into the new challenge that's in question about the Shroud of Turin, tell us about the initial scientific studies on the shroud that were conducted in the 1970s, which seemed to indicate it was authentic, it was real.
That's right. The most famous one, it's really, we'll call it the first and the last one, was called SHTURP, Shroud of Turin Research Project. And what that was about 30 U.S. scientists went over to Turin, and for 120 hours, they had hands-on to the shroud. And at that time in 1978, they conducted what were then state-of-the-art tests. And what they determined was really quite amazing. Their concluding paragraph said the famous words, "This is not the product of an artist." That alone sends shivers through people's spines, because you think about it, if it wasn't the product of an artist, then how did that image appear on the cloth? Obviously, it had to be a supernatural formation. And that is what I believe, that is what millions of people around the world believe, that the image, which is the greatest mystery of the Shroud of Turin, how did that image get there? Modern technology has never been able to answer that question.
I understand that there's real human blood on the Shroud of Turin. It's AB positive, and the blood stains comport with all of the wounds that Jesus Christ underwent as seen in the four Gospels. And is that significant, the human blood?
Oh, absolutely it's significant, because the shroud is a mirror of the Gospel. Every mark on the shroud is written about in the Gospel. And some of the tests that have been conducted, they can look at the marks on the shroud that where blood came, and they know it matches perfectly, for example, with the spear in the side of Jesus. And the scourging, they can look at the scourging, which is over 100 scourge marks, and they can look at the scourge marks and match it exactly to what the Roman flagrum looked like at the time. So it's no coincidence that you have all this blood and you have the blood first. And that is what's so interesting, is you think about the timeline of the events of Christ's death and resurrection. He was taken off the cross. He was bloody. He was a mess. They wrapped him in a clean linen cloth that was donated by Joseph of Arimathea. So naturally, there was blood and all sorts of human, you know, gunk on that cloth. And that blood and all the other serums that came out of Christ's body, that seeped through the cloth, just like any any blood, you know, if you got it on a sheet or a band, seeps through the other side. But with, on Resurrection Sunday, the image does not seep through. The image sits on top of the cloth. And where there is blood, there is no image. And that's one of the mysteries of the Shroud, too. You know, blood first, image second. And it perfectly follows the timeline of Good Friday and the resurrection.
I understand that back in 2004, thereabouts, when Mel Gibson made his classic movie, The Passion of the Christ, that he essentially used a lot of the research of the wounds of Christ as seen in this historical Shroud of Turin.
That is supposedly correct. I have heard that. I don't know if it's ever been really authenticated by Mel himself, but that is definitely something that I believe is true. But the thing that's amazing about it, because you recall when that movie came out, the scourging scenes were so horrific that people couldn't even watch them. And in fact, he went back and redid some of those scenes because people just thought they were so horrible. But that is what Jesus endured. And it's really, I think, to everyone's detriment, when you look at the normal kind of crucifix that hangs in a church, except for the wound in the side and the piercings in the feet and the hands, most of the time, you know, the body is, you know, is pretty much clean. But in fact, there are some crucifixes where they do mirror the gospel, mirror the shroud exactly. And those are hard to look at. In fact, one of the first times I ever saw one of those crucifixes, I was like, what is this? I had never seen anything like that. And I looked at the bottom and it said, this is made in Italy and it represents the wounds that are reflected on the Shroud of Turin. That's the first time I ever recall seeing the word Shroud of Turin. And I looked at that crucifix and I was like, oh my goodness, this is horrible to look at. So I think that's why churches don't go full blown with all the wounds. But the wounds really are there. They're real. And we see them on the Shroud of Turin as plain as day. And it's something that really people have to understand, you know, what Jesus did for us on the cross. And it's represented on the shroud.
Okay, so we have mentioned the scientific studies that were done by using scientific space age science and technology and so forth from American scientists that studied around the shroud, around the clock, I should say, for 120 hours back in 1978. One of the things that then was proposed was go ahead and do a carbon dating testing of the shroud, and that was done in 1988, and the findings said, okay, this thing, whatever it is, it's a fake because we can date it from 1290 to 1260 AD to 1390, but you know, we can't find it, you know, being any earlier than that. So what are your comments on the carbon dating? And I understand that really set back all studies on the shroud and writings about the same.
Yes, it did. And it was most unfortunate because it was managed by the British Museum and they literally violated every one of their protocols. Ultimately, what they did is they kept the raw data for 29 years. They would not release it. And because they had gotten so much grief from the scientific community that there's no way the shroud could have dated to that. Well, it turns out they dated a patch that was added later. That was cotton. And they found out, of course, the shroud is linen. So right there, it tells you, you know, how much they messed up. But the scientific community from day one was like, this is impossible. There's no way this could be dated from 1260 to 1390. One of the things that, just think about common sense, is when you look at the shroud with your naked eye, it's a rust-colored image and it's kind of faint. But then in 1898, the first time it was photographed, what developed in the darkroom was what we call a photo negative, which looks like a black and white. And that black and white image today is still so mysterious. Because when you look at the shroud with your naked eye, you don't see that black and white, clear as day image. And from that image, which was, we call it a photographic negative, that was literally 1260 to 1390. Well, that's 500 years before photography was even invented. So how is it possible that a photo negative image could be hidden inside the shroud for 500 years before photography even was invented. But it's that image. People see that image, and that's the one they see most often. A black and white image, particularly the holy face, because you see the face, that beautiful, it's like a countenance of it's just so, it's such serenity and love. And that holy face, the reason it ever came to light is because it was photographed for the first time in 1898. But some people think that's what the shroud looks like. I always have to tell people that, no, that's not the shroud. That was hidden inside the shroud. But it is really interesting. But there's so many things that were wrong with the carbon dating. But when they finally did release the data 29 years later, there's a group of scientists led by Tristan Casabianca, and they determined that the conclusions that the British Museum came through in 1988 were completely off base. There's no way they could have come to those conclusions. There was an agenda. There absolutely was an agenda that they had. It damaged the shroud for decades. And now, finally, over time, it's been so disproven what they did, particularly when they ran the new data, the old data in a new way. And now the shroud has never been more popular. It's never been more, there's never been more movies, books, exhibits. It's so fascinating. People just love hearing about the shroud because, like, what we're going to produce in Washington, we hope to produce the National Shroud of Turin exhibit. We're going to be calling it the world's greatest mystery. And that is what the shroud is, the world's greatest mystery. Nobody can figure out how it has these magical properties that can only be explained one way, and that is supernatural.
Okay, we have about 2.5 minutes left, so explain to us about the $1 million challenge.
Oh, thank you. One of my favorite topics. On February 8th in Washington, D.C., we held a press conference. And what this is the $1 million challenge. We have a donor that has put up $1 million. And what it is if you can replicate the shroud using the criteria that's on the website, whocanhebe.com is where all the criteria is mentioned. National Shroud of Turin exhibit is actually promoting the $1 million challenge. We're not hosting it. But if you go to whocanhebe.com, you'll read all the criteria. So these criteria are based on scientific evidence that is undisputed, the properties that the shroud has. So $1 million challenge means that you can try to replicate the shroud using the criteria that is set forth, using Middle Ages technology, because keep in mind, 1260 to 1390, they did it then, supposedly. So you should be able to do it now. Unfortunately, for the $1 million challenge, I think our donor is going to be able to keep his money. So far, we haven't gotten any takers, but the actual deadline is May. But when you read through the criteria, if you know anything about science, you say, whoa, how is that even possible that we could produce something like this now? Not even forget just Middle Ages technology, but using modern day technology, the shroud has never been replicated. And so, you win $1 million if you can do it. But it just goes to prove that the shroud remains the world's greatest mystery.
And I understand from previous discussions, for example, with Dr. Alan Wanger, who's now dead, but he was a retired professor at Duke Medical Center. He said that the shroud is the most scientifically studied object in all of history, or artifact in all of history. We have 30 seconds remaining.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. We say that all the time. It's the most mysterious, it's the world's most mysterious artifact, and it is the most studied and the most analyzed. And I think people love mysteries. Scientists love mysteries. And we also call it the world's first selfie. And so that in and of itself is something that they know, younger people love hearing that. They always laugh when we say that, but it really is true when you think about it. What if it was really the world's first selfie of Jesus Christ? And
well,
that's what we believe it is.
And we have enough time. Let me go ahead and give these two websites. One for the contest, whocanhebe.com. And secondly, National Shroud of Turin Exhibit.org. Myra Khan Adams. Myra, thank you. All the best.